Iceland. I know it's a very random place to be born, but that's where I was born. That's where God placed me. I moved to Canada in 1997. Marisa and I, we got married in 2010, and we just were blessed with a little girl 2 months ago, so that's very, very exciting. We also have a foster son, a 17-year-old boy who's special needs. So, you know, with a two-month-old and a 17-year-old special needs son, man, we're having a lot of fun. You know, we're having a lot of fun and just learning to be a dad. And so my extension to all the fathers in here today, happy Father's Day. I finally get to join you. And so I feel like I'm a part of the club. I'm excited about it. Let me just begin by a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you that we get to gather today and to hear from you, to listen to you and to be under your word. We thank you that your word is instructive, Lord. We ask that you just speak to us this morning. We open up our hearts. We desire to hear from you. Every one of our situations is unique. All of our lives are different in some way, yet your word applies to all of us uniquely. So, Father, would you speak to us? Would the seed, the word, go deep in our hearts? Would it take root this morning? In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Hey, why don't you go ahead and open up Luke chapter 17, all right? Go ahead and grab a Bible, maybe in front of you if you don't have one. We're going to be spending some time in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. An interesting story that Luke tells us. Luke being a physician, he was a doctor, and he writes this story to us about a healing that Jesus performs that I want to take a look at today. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. This is the word of the Lord for you this morning. Out of the NIV version, this is how it reads. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was the Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. About a month ago, the pastors of our church, we went for a pastoral retreat. And we went to a place out in Chilliwack, way somewhere over there, and called Twin Creeks. And we were there for 3 days, and the food was real good. It was delicious. We were fed spiritually and physically as well. But one of the pastors, David Wood, he said, "Hey, why don't we go for a run?" And I was one of the only young guys that decided that I would join the more mature men on a run around the block. And so I decided that I would go. However, having not really prepared, the only shoes that I brought to this retreat were these old skateboarding shoes that I just from ages ago. They had holes all over the shoes from the grip tape of the skateboard. They were smelly. They were not good running shoes. But I wanted to kind of be a part of the gang and kind of be a part of the group. And so I thought I would join these older men for a run and probably beat them. You know, so I kind of wanted to do that, right? And so we're out for a run, and about 10 or 15 minutes into the run, my back starts to hurt. Like, my lower back is just aching. And so I'm trying to just power through it. But after a while, they kind of notice, because I'm kind of running like this. I kind of got the, and I'm the young guy, you know, and I'm kind of running like this. And David says, you okay, man?" I said, "I don't know what it is, but my lower back is just hurting." And he says, "Well, it's your shoes, man. You don't got no arches in your shoes. They're flat. They're probably skateboarding shoes. I said, yeah, you're right. You need arches in your shoes. I need arches in my shoes. What am I doing, right? And so I actually come back and I figure, well, next time this happens, next year, I got to prepare. I got to bring my running shoes. I got to buy shoes with arches, all right? Because I don't want this to happen again. You know, it was embarrassing. I was legging the guys down. And so I ended up actually buying running shoes. But I found it very interesting. That happened on the Saturday. On the Monday, I was driving Brandon to school, so our special needs boy. And we're late. And he happens to have the same skateboarding shoes as I do. Except his aren't ripped up and torn up and all that kind of stuff. But we were late, so I'm going, Brandon, let's go, let's come on in the car. You know, we're running into the car with our shoes in our hands. You know, we're that late. You know, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but so Brandon grabs accidentally my shoes. Brandon's a size 7, I'm a size 10. And they're holy, not holy, not sacred, but they're holy, right? They got holes in them, they're stinky, and Brandon grabs my shoes, and he accidentally does so. So we're driving, and halfway through, Brandon gets really upset because he realizes that he's grabbed my shoes. And he's upset because he realizes that he doesn't have his shoes. And that as he gets to school, he thought that he would have to go without shoes. But I explained to him, I said, hey, Brandon, you know, you can have my stinky, old, no arch, holy shoes if you want them. And you should have seen his reaction. Brandon went from being sad to being extremely happy, extremely thankful. And he got out of the car, put these old shoes on, and his teachers were there by the door, and he was pointing at the shoes, going, look at my shoes. Look at them. And I had to take a picture of this moment because it taught me a lesson. It taught me that happiness, or thankfulness, as we're going to take a look at today, has less to do with the shoes, the condition of the shoes in which you walk in, as opposed to the attitude that you carry towards your shoes. You see, Brandon, it was the same shoes, but he was thankful. He was delighted to be wearing Dave's shoes, no matter how broken and torn up they were. Today we're going to hear a message from the Gospel of Luke on thankfulness, on being thankful to God, about a leper who returns to give thanks to God. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, a message on thankfulness. Let's go verse by verse, shall we? Verse 11. So he begins by opening the story by saying this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. If I can just share a little bit on this. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. Luke says, he makes this statement. Hey, reader, audience, listen. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Now, Luke is not just saying a geographical statement. He's not just telling the audience where they're going. This is something bigger. You see, all the way, if we're in Luke chapter 17, if we look at all the way back to Luke chapter 9, there is a moment that takes place that changes the whole gospel. In Luke chapter 9, some of you may have heard this story. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, hey guys, who do people say I am? And some of them say, well, some of you say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some say the other prophets. And then he turns to Peter and he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter, what does he say? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now in that moment, Jesus says, yes. You're right, but this was not, you didn't think of this yourself. This was given to you by my Father in heaven. That's what he says, doesn't he? And in that moment, all of a sudden, the whole ministry of Jesus changes. Why? Because he says to his disciples, and here they are in Galilee, he says, guys, it's now time. It's now time for me to go to Jerusalem, to be handed over to the authorities and to be killed by the religious authorities in Jerusalem. And of course, Peter says, no, you won't, that won't happen. That's that story where he says, get behind me, Satan. See, this story gives us some context because from that moment on, all the way until the moment when he enters Jerusalem, where they yell out, Hosanna, Luke, five times in the Gospel of Luke, will remind his audience, five times, and this is one of those times, that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. Now, what does he mean by that? What is he alluding to? He is alluding to Jesus' statements that he is going to die on the cross for our sins. So what's really beautiful about this story of the lepers is that it begins with the gospel. Just in those few words, they were on their way to Jerusalem. Luke is reminding you, Jesus is going to die. He's on his way to die. And it says that they were right around Samaria and Galilee. This is about 300 kilometers at least, if we're looking at that region from Jerusalem. It's a long ways away. And Luke tells us that as they were walking, he sees a leper colony. All right, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, notice that, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, leprosy. Some of us are familiar with what leprosy is. Others who are younger may not even be familiar with it because for the most part, at least in North America, leprosy has been defeated. There's a cure called MDT that we give anyone who contracts leprosy, 99.9% of the time, we give them something called MDT, and it cures them. But even in India today, there's over 1,200 leper colonies. So what is leprosy? Leprosy was a disease that attacked, or still does, if you contract leprosy, it's a disease that attacks the outer body. It attacks the skin so that you can no longer feel anything. You are without feeling. And obviously this can be a huge problem because when you get hurt, you don't know it. And so people many times will have to be amputated because of disfiguration and of infection. And so if you just put your imagination cap on for a moment, here Jesus is walking and he sees these 10 men. And they're disfigured. They're ugly. They're without feeling. And it says that they stood at a distance. Why? Because the law, in Leviticus 13, Moses writes a law. He writes two things about lepers. He says, those who have contracted leprosy must remain outside of the village. They are unclean. He calls them, in a sense, religiously unclean. So you cannot, for fear of transmission, we don't want leprosy to spread. So please, remain outside the village. And notice that they stood at a distance. The other thing Moses writes in Leviticus 13 is that lepers needed to scream out. Anytime they were in the presence of clean people, lepers needed to scream out, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. I'm dirty. Don't come close to me. I'm unclean. They were required by law to do that. And they were also required to wear ripped clothing. You'll find this in Leviticus 13. Ripped clothing, and they couldn't do their hair. All right, so they pretty much look like the hipsters. All right, just imagine a hipster, ripped clothes, messed up hair. That's what they were required by law to look like. So think of this moment where these men, they feel so distant from society. They're disfigured. But notice, instead of screaming out, "I'm unclean," by law they had to say what? "I'm unclean. I'm dirty." But what do they say? They say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Huh. They don't scream out, "I'm unclean." They say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, what does our Jesus do? Jesus was radical, wasn't he? In many ways, more than one. He was radical. Why? He would hang out with tax collectors. Tax collectors were socially rejected. Why? Because they had alliances with the Roman government. Yet Jesus hung out with them. Jesus hung out with prostitutes who were morally rejected, for they were adulterers. But lepers. You see, lepers were socially rejected, just like the tax collectors, because they were, for fear of transmission, they were morally rejected. Why were they morally rejected? They were morally rejected because in that day, and even today, they believed in something called karma. Right? Remember that story when they're walking with Jesus walking with the disciples, and they see a man who's blind, and the disciples ask Jesus, they say, "Is it that man's sins or his parents' sins that he was born blind?" Remember that story? What are they asking there? Whose karma is at fault here for this man to be born blind? Whose sin? You see, in that day, and even today, some people believe that when you sin, God judges you with blindness or leprosy or whatever. And Jesus dismantles that, doesn't he? He says, no, this man was born this way so that I may be glorified in his healing. So lepers were socially rejected, morally rejected, because people believed that they had sinned to get leprosy. And religiously rejected. So these men were the most rejected people in all of society. They were worse than tax collectors. They were worse than prostitutes. And what does Jesus do with lepers? Do you know that in every single story other than this healing of leprosy, Jesus heals many lepers in the Gospels. This isn't the only one. And in every story of a healing of leprosy, you know what Jesus does? He touches them. Every story, every leper, other than these, Jesus is doing something far different in this story. But in every other leper healing, Jesus touches them. Why? Put yourself in these men's shoes for a minute. You haven't been physically touched by a clean person. You've been told you're rejected, dirty, unworthy, and Jesus touches them. But he's doing something different here, isn't he? Jesus. Because he doesn't touch them, does he? Instead, he tells them to go show themselves to the priests. It's interesting to me that the condition of leprosy is a lot like sin. Actually, St. Augustine, there's a famous quote where he talks about how God put himself in front of a mirror to show how, and he says, he uses the word ulcerous. I really was. How much of a leper spiritually I was. How distant I was from God and his goodness and glory. You see, sin has a tendency to numb the soul. In the same way that leprosy, when you put your hand on a hot stove, you don't even know that you're burning yourself and damaging your body. Many times the way sin works is we don't even know that what we're doing is damaging our soul. So our condition prior to Jesus' healing, spiritually speaking, is we're lepers. We're lepers. But Jesus has something to do about that, doesn't he? So in this story, Jesus, instead of touching them, he tells them, he says, go. Go and show yourselves to the priests. All right? And it says that they went all the way to, so they would have gone to Jerusalem. Where is the temple? It's in Jerusalem, which is a long ways away. As they went, they were cleansed. Let's take a look at those sentences quickly. So it says that he says, go, show yourselves to the priest. This is also interesting. Take note. Leviticus 14, after Moses writes this message saying of sort of the parameters of lepers, he in Leviticus 14, he says, now, but the priests must come out to the leper colonies and must make sure that if any one of them is healed, the one person who had the ability to redeem a leper into society. And what I mean by that is to say, okay, you are now clean, you may now wear clothes again, you may do your hair again, you may now interact with society again. The only people to do that were priests. And so they would come out maybe once a month, every 2 months, and they would share the law with the lepers from a distance. And the priests would ask them, is anyone here made clean? Okay, one guy, okay, praise God. You are now free. You may now come into society again. So it's interesting, though, because Moses says, he doesn't say lepers go into the city to the priests. He doesn't say that. He says priests go to the lepers. So it's interesting to me, what is Jesus doing here? He says to the lepers, go, stand up. Show yourselves to the priests that you're clean. It's interesting, they would have stood up. It doesn't say that in that moment they were healed. When does it say that they were healed? On the way there. So in that moment, none of their circumstances had changed. They still had disfigured limbs. They were still lepers. And Jesus, what does he do? Stand up. Go. Jesus could have healed them on the spot and said, okay, now, okay, guys, you guys are all healed. You're good to go. All right, go show yourselves to the priest. Go get out of here. He doesn't do that. Instead, he says, go. Guys, I know that you are still lepers. I know that nothing's changed, but go. Jesus, and we have to understand this. The way in which our walk of faith happens, we call it a walk of faith, isn't it? We say, oh, how's your faith going? How's your walk going? How's your walk of faith going? The way in which Jesus always operates in the gospel is by faith. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? 5,000 men. So that would have been about 12,000, including women and children. 12,000 people. And there's a few fish and a couple loaves. And what does he say to his disciples? Hey guys, go ahead, have everybody seated. All right, have them sit down in groups of 50. All right? But Jesus, there's no food. There's just a couple loaves and a couple fish. Yeah, have them sit down, get organized, guys. Yeah, 50 over there. 50. Yeah, Peter, come on now, get these guys organized. But there's no food. Nothing's changed. Everything's the same. Do you have faith? The way in which Jesus always operates is by faith. It would have been easier if Jesus said, hey, Peter, check this out. Okay, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to just grab these loaves of bread and just pump them out. Okay, I'm going to just pump out some loaves. Okay, what kind of fish? You like tilapia? Okay, tilapia, man. Let's get some tilapia going. It would have been easier, you know, for Peter to be like, oh, man, Jesus, you're obviously amazing. Okay, guys, sit down. You should see what's happening over here. It's unreal, right? Like, it would have been easier for Peter if Jesus would have just pumped out some fish first. But he doesn't. He says, sit down. Have some faith. have some expectancy in who I am. So he looks at the lepers and he says, go, stand up, show yourselves to the priests. And they go. And it says that on their way there, they were cleansed. Now, for a moment, again, let's put our imagination caps on here. These men haven't felt the imperfection of the road. They haven't felt the wind hit their face. They haven't felt their hair move in the wind. They haven't felt the warmth of a hug. They haven't kissed their wives in decades. They haven't held their kids. They haven't seen their neighbors. They have been excommunicated from society completely, told that they are unworthy, unclean, sinful. They're rejected. And so on their way there, all of the sudden, there's this moment. Oh my goodness, I can feel. Could you feel that? Oh my goodness, John, that ugly thing on your forehead's gone. Wow, you look great. There would have been a moment where all of the sudden, they were healed and cleansed and celebrated. And there would have also been a moment where there was a divergence, right? Because one comes back to Jesus, and the other nine, where did they go? You see, this is where the story gets uncomfortable for me. Because there would have been a moment where the Samaritan, who was not only morally rejected, socially rejected, and religiously rejected, he was a Samaritan. He was racially rejected. Right? They were racist towards Samaritans. And in this moment, there's a divergence. Why? Because all of a sudden, the Samaritan says, guys, where are you going? And if you put yourself in their minds, they want to go hug their kids. They want to go see their wives. They want to go celebrate. They want to go back into Jerusalem. And yet, there is one man who says, guys, where are you going? Well, where are you going? Well, we should go back to Jesus. He healed us. But my wife, my kids, my neighbors, I want to go see them. Okay, you go back to Jesus. We're heading up. Come on, guys, let's go. And there would have been this celebration, this celebratory moment where the nine, where do they go? They go to their families. But the one comes back. Why is this uncomfortable? Because look at Jesus' reaction. He doesn't go, oh, where'd the other nine go? Oh, is that right? They went, oh, okay, I see. All right, that's no big deal. It's scary what he says. He says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? This Samaritan? The most rejected person of all? No one's come to give praise except for you? And then he says these words, rise and go, your faith has made you well. You know why this is scary for me? Because in the Greek, that word well, when he says your faith has made you well, is a Greek word called sozo. Sozo. And sozo, in most cases in the New Testament, speaks of wellness when it comes to spiritual wellness. It really means salvation. It means salvation. And the reason why this is scary to me is because Jesus looks at the one leper who was healed physically, and he looks at him and he says, you have been made well spiritually. You have been saved. And it's scary to me because what happened to the other nine? Who were possibly made well physically. Their problems in this world were taken care of, but that healing was meant to do what? To point them back to the healer. But they didn't get it. They were distracted. You see, the whole point of this message is not only giving thanks. Thank you, God, for your healing, your spiritual healing. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for being the God of all gods. Thank you for leading us and leading our family, Lord. Thank you. It's not only a message of thanks, but it's a message of priority. And I'll finish with this. It's a message of priority. Why? One leper had his priorities straight. You see, especially now that I have a child, I understand how easy it is to put God to the side and put family first. Put my kids first, my wife first. It's not that God, notice what does Jesus say? Go! Get out of here, son. Your faith has made you well. He encourages the leper, the one leper, to get out of here. Get out, go. Go see your family. Go see your kids. Go kiss your kids. Go kiss your wife. Go be with your neighbors. Your faith has made you well. To me, this text is a reminder to first and foremost give thanks to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for taking me from my condition of sin and saving me and bringing me into your kingdom by grace. I love that you guys are called Pacific Grace, for it is by grace that we've been saved. But it's a message of priority. I need to love God first. He needs to be first on the throne. Family second. And the interesting thing is, when you put God first, you'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better father. You'll be a better mother. If we put God first, just as the leper did. He was just as tempted to go visit his family and his friends and his society. But he understood the first importance was to thank Jesus, to come back to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's do a song of response, shall we? Would you stand with us as we praise God and give thanks to Him? And let me just pray prior to worship. Lord, we thank You, Father, for your saving grace. And Father, I repent of those moments where I don't put You first.